All week long, we work and toil and do all the activities which we need to do, which involves a lot of work. As being a Jew, we struggle with whatever needs to be fixed and repaired in the world. It involves a lot of details and a lot of all kinds of mitzvahs and all kinds of things that we do. Brachas, like we make 100 brachas a day and different mitzvahs and so on and so forth. And we're working towards the end of the week. And then when we finally get to the conclusion of the week, and we have all the, we might say, the mayhem and craziness of the Friday afternoon and last preparations for Shabbos. But then, as Shabbos is about to enter, we turn around and we look for the woman. Because we can't enter Shabbos without the woman. Here is where the woman has to come and light the Shabbos candles and bring in the light of Shabbos. So for 6,000 years we toil and we work and we work, and everybody has jobs, and in this work that has been, there's been so much hardship, so much struggle, so much self-sacrifice, so much blood and tears. We can't fathom. We'll never know the depth of the work, the triumphs, the difficulties, the challenges that the Jewish people have been through. From when Avram was 3 years old and recognized God, and we've been through thick and thin. Fire and water, literally, in the literal sense. And as we near the very end, as we are turning over the page in history, as we are reaching the climax and the purpose of it all, and we are about to welcome in Shabbos, we turn to the ladies, because we can't go into Shabbos without the women. Who is going to light those candles that are going to bring in Moshiach's light into the world? Bringing in the great, powerful Yom Shekulei Shabbos, that's going to be Shabbos for all of existence, for all of the worlds, and liberate all of humanity. Who's going to light that flame and bring that powerful light into the world? That's going to be the women. The women are honored with lighting the candles, the Shabbos candles. Ner equals 250. And we know we have 248 channels of mitzvahs. The 248 mitzvahs that are used to channel, to usher in, to download, to bring forth God into the world. But we also know that the mitzvahs also need to have wings. Every mitzvah needs a wing, two wings. Just like a bird can't fly, the Zohar says, without a wing, a mitzvah cannot release its divinity, its godly light into the world without the two wings of love and fear and awe. So whenever we're doing a mitzvah, we're motivated with love of Hashem and awe of God. So really, if you sum it up, 248 plus twos, it's ner. It's the lamp. So imagine all the mitzvahs from all the Jewish people, from all of history, from the very, very, very onset of time. We know Avram Avinu fulfilled all the mitzvahs. Sarah Imenu did. She lit her Shabbos candles and all the mitzvahs of all the generations, everything that has been done, is waiting right now as we come to the conclusion, because we don't see the effects of our mitzvahs. We don't see the light that the mitzvahs have brought into the world. Light that's enough, that will suffice to shine and to illuminate for all of eternity, forever and ever and ever, forever getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Because as far as we will go, and as bright as it will get, and we're talking about forever and ever and ever. And it says in Chassidus and from the Arizal that there is 50,000 jubilee years, whatever that means, of elevations, higher and higher and higher. And what it really means is all of eternity. Forever and ever, brighter and brighter. All that light is coming from the mitzvahs that we do, that we did now, or that we do now. So all that mitzvah, all that light is not shining until the women light those flames at the onset of the Geula. And this is where your work is here right now. You need to bring forth, as women, all the light, all the bracha, all the godliness of all the mitzvahs, of all the Jewish people, of all of history. Because women were always lighting the Shabbos candles in their individual week. They gathered all the mitzvahs that were done in their home, and at the end of the week, they're the ones who light the candle that all those mitzvahs, all those should illuminate and transform the Jewish home into Shabbos. But that was a small little home, an island in time and space, a Mashiach little bubble floating in dark space. But then we come to the climax. We come to the last generation. And we come to the last moments of this last generation. Never has there been a more important role than the women right now. We know it's now. We feel it in our bones. And Jewish women know it's now. So who merited? Women that are physically alive here in this world right now to light those final Shabbos candles. That's really all I have to say. Well, more of an honor. So it's up to the women now to light up the world, to bring the Geula, to release all the holiness of all the generations, to release it into the world in powerful illumination. So why Dafka the woman? Why does the woman's role suddenly become so significant in the transitioning from Gullus to Geula? And as the sages tell us, in the merit of the righteous women, we went out of Egypt. And all the Geulas, all the redemptions, the Medrash says, comes in the schus of Nashim Tzidkani, it's the righteous women. And as the Rebbe would always tell us, the teaching of the Holy Ari, which you know it, but we have to internalize this, that the generation of the women who went out of Egypt and generated the Geula, the redemption, they are the same women that are reincarnated and alive today. You did it once already. Can't you get it done already? That's my question. Did it once. You've done it already. Now it's time to just let's do it. But why the women? Why the women have, well, what's the role? So we know that the redemption is related to famous idea. What's the redemption? The ultimate redemption is that God has a home in this world. Basi Legania, Hashem says, I've come to my garden. I've come to my garden. That's what it's all about. That's what Mashiach is. When the physical earth will be transformed into a private garden of God. His private, most enjoyable place to be is down here in the physical world. And that's the redemption. So we see an interesting thing. The seventh Chabad Rebbe, our Rebbe, became Rebbe by saying this discourse, I've come to my garden, which is really final stage, Hashem coming down to the garden. Talks about the seven generations that need to bring God down from the seventh heaven all the way down here to earth. Final generation brings Hashem down here finally to earth. But the Rebbe said this discourse based on a discourse of the previous Rebbe, sixth Chabad Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak. The previous Rebbe said this discourse and gave it to be printed in honor of his Baba's yard site, his grandmother's yard site, Rebbetzin Rivka. It was the wife of the fifth Chabad, of the fourth Chabad Rebbe, the Rebbe Marash. It was her yard site, so to honor his grandmother, he gave this discourse to be studied on the day that the previous Rebbe himself passed away. In other words, the Rebbe said, this Shabbos is going to be my grandmother's yard site, so Hasidim should have a mimer to learn. So the Rebbe gave this discourse that they should study it. But in the end, the Rebbe passed away that Shabbos in the morning. And this was his like parting gift. But we know that by Rebbe's, everything is infinitely, infinitely deep and infinitely holy and guided by the deepest Hashgacha Pratis and by Ruach HaKodesh. They know everything. They know. So when the previous Rebbe gave this mimer, obviously this was a preparation for the final generation. Because the Rebbe is the sixth Rebbe. He knows that he's handing it over to the seventh one, whose job is to complete the job and bring the Shekhinah down into this world. Yet, it's interesting that the discourse is associated with a woman, with his grandmother. And the discourse has a second part to it. It's got the first mimer, Basi Lagani, and then it has a continuation, Chaveri Makshi, what is the Lashon over there? I forgot already. Chaveri Makshivim Lekailacha, that's the second discourse. The second discourse he gave and prepared for his mother's yard site, which was 3 days later. So it happens to be that this powerful discourse that later becomes the cornerstone of all the work of the last generation is related to the yard sites of two women. That is because the final work of making a home for God is the work of the woman, not the work of the man. I mean, men can help out a little bit. They should help out. But the final job of making the world a home for Hashem, that's the woman. Because the woman is the home. She knows how to make a home. A man doesn't know how to make a home. Everybody knows. You want to teach your husband a lesson, you go away for a couple of days. That's the way it is. He can't handle it. He doesn't know a home. He has no idea what a home is. A woman knows a home. She knows how to take care of a home, make a home, and that's the story. The deeper meaning in this is that we find an interesting thing. We see that in the early generations, first 26 generations, first 2,000 years of history, the primary focus was on the man. When Hashem created man, Adam was like created alone. The woman was a rib of him, kind of secondary. And only later did God create the woman. So she was kind of taking on a secondary role. When Noah went to the ark, so the Pasuk describes very much that Noah went in first and then his wife went in. That idea of ladies first, of him stepping aside, letting his wife go in first, didn't exist then. Noah went and then his wife. Later it describes Yaakov was riding to meet his brother Esav. So it describes over there that Yaakov Avinu put his sons, so forth, the men, and then the women on the back. And the Medrash compares, and the Medrash says, but Esav, he put the women first. So you might argue and say, oh, he's a gentleman. Esav put the women first, and Yaakov, but the Medrash doesn't seem to be fond of Esav. It shows the morality of Yaakov, superiority, that he put the men first. But yet we see that at a certain point of history, this changes. Where do we see? When God comes to give the Torah, that's the first time Hashem said, hold it, ladies, first. God went to speak to the women, and only then did he go speak to the men. So everything changed by the giving of the Torah. And then when it came to building the home for Hashem and the Mishkan, the ladies showed up first. The lines were filled with women and the men were in the back trying to give something, but they couldn't because the women were already fully there and they were very from the men, so they were like waiting till all the ladies left. It was, you know, took a while. The ladies went first. The pasuk says, "Vayevoyu anashim al anashim," that the men came secondary to the women. So the women were there first. So you see an interesting thing. Once the Torah is given, everything changes, and it's ladies first. So what's the reason for that? So obviously we need to appreciate the difference between men and women. What is the difference? In their spiritual root, we know when Hashem created the world, it says initially Hashem's light filled all of existence. Hashem's light filled all of reality. And then Hashem, in order to should be space for creation, Hashem created what's called Makom Panoi. Makom Panoi means empty space. So Hashem removed his light and created a black hole. Anybody that studies Kabbalah knows this idea. So there's this big empty space, vacuum, nothing there, darkness. Then Hashem shines light into that darkness, and that's called a thin thread of light, and that's the creative energy that goes into the darkness. He reinserts his light, and that starts the process of creation. That light is called Kav, a direct light. Okay, but the Kabbalists tell us, and Hasidus is very, very into this idea, that this empty space that was there was not really so empty. It appears to be empty until the light comes in. But in truth, there is slight traces left over of the infinite presence of God that was once in this space. When Hashem erased the light, there is a what's called reshimu. There's still a trace of that original infinite power that's there. So really, the underlying canvas of where creation is designed, where the artwork of creation takes place, has intrinsically within it, it's not black, dark, empty, it has within it, creation is really built on a foundation, on a core of the divine, of that which is holy. Not only holy, but the true infinite truth of God that was present before. So here is what Chassidus teaches. The man's source of his soul is in the light that comes into the darkness to illuminate the darkness. The woman's root of her soul is in the trace of the infinite that is in the background, that is present, that wasn't completely erased. The woman's source is in the reshimu, in this backdrop of the essence of the divine light that has never really fully been erased. For that reason, their roles are different. Man's role is to combat the darkness by bringing light from where? From heaven, bringing light from elsewhere. So the man is the warrior who's going to fight, and how is he going to fight the darkness? By bringing in light from outside of creation, from outside of the world. The woman, her uniqueness and her unique power is not to bring light from elsewhere, but to uncover the intrinsic holiness of what is. In other words, the woman's idea is to reveal that we're not making this world godly. This world is inherently godly. It is here. We don't have to channel it from elsewhere. It's really within the world already. So therefore, for the first 2,000 years of creation, when there was still a lot of darkness in this world, the woman's role, the woman, it wasn't ready yet to notice the underlying traces of the divine that is inherently within the world. So during that period of time, until the Torah was given, it was men first and then women, because the main thing was, let's go up to heaven, let's go to beyond the system and bring godly light in from above. But once Hashem says it's time to give the Torah, and it's time to have my desire having a home in this world, it's at this time the men go into the back and the women come to the forefront. Because over here the work is completely different. It's to realize and to uncover the intrinsic holiness and godliness that is here with what is it, and it just needs to be nurtured, needs to be brought out, needs to be highlighted, but it's there already within the creation, within the world. So that's the shift, and that's why when it comes to the Geula, to the redemption, which is really redemption means not saving the world by bringing something in from the outside, But the uncovering the real power, the real intrinsic essence of what is ready here in the world, we only need some of that stimulating light from the outside to help us illuminate so that we can see the truth of this magnificent physical world that we're living in. To see that this world is so holy, it's unbelievable. Matter, physicality, it's like crazy. It's rooted in the essence of Hashem. But it takes first some refinement that is needed from light from above, which is a masculine project. Woman, the feminine project, is this intrinsic holiness. That's why, after six generations of tzaddikim, the sixth generation of tzaddikim, until the last one that needs to bring God down to earth, those tzaddikim are masculine tzaddikim. And that's why they were primarily busy with creating Hasidic men. And the Hasidic men already influenced their wives and influenced the women. When it came time for the seventh generation, which is our Rebbe, to become Rebbe, the seventh generation is Malchus, a feminine trait. The seventh generation is not going to be occupied with channeling godliness from above. The seventh generation is going to reveal the inherent godliness that's in every part within the physical world itself, is going to dig out the godliness from below. So the Rebbe, the seventh Rebbe, our Rebbe, changed it all. He took the women and put the women right in the front, and through the women he inspired the men. And the Rebbe, in his approach, and the closer we get to Moshiach, the closer we get in the Rebbe's leadership itself to the end, the more the women. And even the previous Rebbe, when he's preparing to conclude his leadership and passing it over to the seventh generation, his mimer is a feminine mimer. It's Basi Ligani, I've come to my home, and who does he? And it's connected to two women and not to men. Because here is where it's the woman's job. So what exactly do the women need to do? What do women do to prepare for Mashiach? What's the final act? If we're so there already, what is the final avodah? So when the Rebbe spoke to the women, I'm not sure it's the last time, but definitely one of the last time he addressed the women, the Rebbe gave a very interesting formula of what needs to be. What needs to be is a combination, an impossible combination. Extreme frustration and extreme joy simultaneously. So I'm always meeting the women in this special shul, and they constantly krechzing that Mashiach isn't here. And they're sighing about it, and they're frustrated about it. Sometimes they feel that their frustrations are in vain. I'm frustrated. So what is it? It's not here. But you're frustrated. And what is tugging the Geula? What is pulling in the what is revealing Mashiach is that frustration. And the Rebbe proves it from Miriam Hanaviyah. Miriam the prophetess. She's called Miriam because she's bitter. She was very, very bitter. She wasn't a bitter person, but she was very, very frustrated with the exile. She was born 86 years before the Jews went out of Egypt, and those 86 years were the toughest years of exile. So her birth coincided with exile becoming really, really tough. They named her Bitter because it was so bitter. But she, from when she was a tiny little girl, prophesied the redemption. She saw Mashiach coming. She knew that her baby brother would be the Redeemer. Moshe Rabbeinu would be the Redeemer. So she prophesied and she said, Mashiach is coming. But then it didn't happen. Because after her prophecy, when Moshe was born, a month later, this little baby was going to die. Or at least it looked like it. Because they were putting him into the Nile. A baby alone in the Nile. There's crocodiles in the Nile. And who knows what else. Not a safe place for a little baby. So it looked like Moshe was going to die. That her prophecy was not going to be fulfilled. And in Egypt, it got only worse and worse and worse. Now, I never had prophecy. I don't know the convictions of a prophet. I don't know it. But when you're a prophet and you have prophecy, you know it's true. Now, it took 86 years of her life that passed by. When hopes, I know she didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu would be the Redeemer when he was 80 years old. She was sure it was going to happen when he's 15, maybe 20, maybe 25, maybe 30, 40, 50, 60. He's nowhere to be seen. Could you imagine the frustration of this woman? How deep? She knew it's true, because when you have prophecy, you know it's true. Our generation merited prophecy that the Geula is coming. I know it's true. We know it's true. There is no doubt. But it's frustrating. Very frustrating. Very frustrating. But her bitterness, her Miriam, her bitterness is what was fueling the redemption. It was that frustration. And then what happened? The Rebbe says, when it came time and the Geula finally came, like will be soon, very soon, it will happen. It really, really, really will happen. It really, really, what we're all talking about, what we've gotten so accustomed to expecting that we're going to wait for it and it won't happen. Right? We've gotten used to that. It's almost like normal to us. Yeah, we're going to get together, we're going to do it, but it's not going to happen. Come on, I know it's not going to happen. I'm just doing it anyways. I know it's not going to happen, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring myself to it. But let me tell you, it really is going to happen. It really is going to happen. And boy, is it going to happen. And boy, is it going to happen. It's going to be like, whoa. So, Miriam, when it finally did happen, what happened? So, it says that the men were dancing. They sang, the men were singing songs when they went out. It was the biggest joy ever. They sang the song. But it says, after the men sang, the women sang. But the women, they had tambourines. They went out. They went out with drums and with dance. And by the men, it doesn't say neither they were dancing, neither they had drums. So the Rebbe says, because the joy that the women had was way, way, way greater than the joy of the men. And the reason the women had so much of a greater joy, because they pained the pain much more than the men. The pain, the frustration, the waiting, the longing in the women's hearts was so intense that when it finally did happen, and they knew it's going to happen. And another thing that the women had was they had the emunah, they had the faith that it was going to happen. They weren't going to buy into any of the people, the naysayers, and those who questioned and said maybe it was a mistake, maybe she was a little girl, maybe her prophecy was not such a prophecy, she didn't even know what she's talking about. This Moshe Rabbeinu anyways went to become a prince by Paro. I don't know, he's when he joined the Egyptians, this and that. He's anyways out of town, no one knows where he is, he probably died. Whatever, the same things they say today, exactly the same.
They were saying then, exactly, he died, he this, he that, he's not here, gegangen, gekommen, whatever, all the shtus. But you know, when you hear a prophecy, it's a prophecy, it's emes, it's true, it's real, there's no question of it. And so the women, because they had their emunah, they had prepared their tambourines. And then when it came time of the geula, they danced. Oh, did they dance. So the Rebbe says, therefore, the hairah, the teaching that needs to be for the generation of women that are going to greet Mashiach, those that need to light that final lamp, is this unique combination. On the one hand, we pain the pain. And don't give up on that admosai. The admosai, the cry, like when? Miriam's, this did it, and this is going to do it today. But at the same time, the Rebbe says that we, the women, need to, you, the women. That's what happens when you talk to women all the time. prepare the tambourines, and not just prepare the tambourines, start dancing the dance of Mashiach, of the Geula, before the coming of Mashiach, before the final revelation of Mashiach. The women need to have explosive joy of the Geula like the Geula is here. And that's that blend that creates, I guess, that tension, that flame, that fire that is needed for the final Geula. So may you all merit to be included in those special women that light that final lamp. May we already be able to say to the entire world, as we take our hands off our eyes, say to the whole world, good Shabbos. And a good Tavach.